Damn. Hey y'all, Tagcast, rolling with Fenrir. Today we got Mick Switch. What's up, everybody? It's the Tagcast with Fen and Mick Switch. How you doing? Coming at you from a nice, hot, sunny June day here. I don't know what the weather's like for you guys. What's up?
Oh, it's hot and sunny as well here in the Midwest, so we got clear skies and like 88 degree weather, but I will say it's not as humid as it was the last few days, so that's nice. Good.
Humidity is terrible.
it's awful to be outside doing work. I was outside all morning, knocking some things around, cleaning up some stuff, trying to clean, get the yard looking in good shape, and dealing with a poison ivy.
You want to get poison ivy again?
No, I'm trying to avoid poison ivy again. That shit sucks. No, we got some poison ivy that just won't stop growing, and I'm trying to take care of it, but it's mixed in between a whole bunch of other plants and things that I don't really want to kill. So
that's what it does, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. So hey, I'm Fenrir765. I've been running this Tagcast for a little bit now, but I hope you guys are doing well and everybody's staying safe and healthy out there. But Mouth Music Cop is still jamming for us at the
What's
opening.
Up?
And as he alluded to, we are joined by our Call of Duty expert, Mick Switch. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? What's up, all you cool cats and kittens? It's Mick Switch. How y'all doing?
Oh, jeez.
Dang. Wow. I mean, that's about the most normal part of 2020 so far, I feel like. Oh, man.
You know, she actually she took over the zoo, man. They gave it to her.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out in the end. But, yeah, that's wild stuff right there with the Tiger King and Carol Baskins and her cool cat and kitten cult club. I don't even know what you call it, but whatever.
Tiger King 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, please no. Please no. Please no.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, dear God.
You know it's coming.
Oh, another like 10 hours of my life that I'm going to get sucked into that giant hole of. So.
Thankfully, I have the addiction of anime that pulls me away from getting sucked into any of that stuff. And by addiction to anime, I mean like buying old re-released anime on Blu-ray from other companies that cost a fortune and then sitting there and watching it over and over again.
I mean, you should be okay for now. It's really when you start dropping $2,000 to $3,000 on animated. I mean, cells. That's when you know you got a problem.
Yeah, I never got. I do have quite a collection of anime art books, and I was for a time like super collecting like action figures and stuff. I had probably close to $10,000 worth of Macross and Mos Beta and Gundam kits at one point. Maybe not all at one time, but I had accumulated a lot, and I had sell them off and reaccumulate some. I don't have any of those anymore. They're all gone. I still have the art books, though.
It's a dark hole to go down to.
Unfortunately, there's many dark holes in terms of collection of things. I mean, it's just whatever your fancy is in terms of that. But yeah,
that's when I collect things. I don't collect anything anymore, really.
I was going to say, I have a buddy, he was obsessed with just collecting video games, and he had like 50, shelves of just video games, like, all the time, and like, I mean, he would collect the most random thing, like, games, like, all of the PGA Tour games, or all the Madden games, he's like, these are going to be worth money one day. I was like, no one's going to care about Madden 2K5, or, I just mixed two different things together, but yeah, it's just stuff like that. I'm like, really? Come on.
Madden 2020 might be worth some money, considering it's the only football we're going to get this year.
You're kicking people while they're down, McSwitch.
I know. I mean, baseball may not happen, but, it's crazy.
They've been talking about doing running a season here in Arizona because there's enough stadiums.
Yeah.
They could have, like, 8 or 12 teams comfortably play just in Arizona with the amount of stadium space we have.
It's definitely, they've thrown a lot of ideas out there. NBA is coming back at the end of July for a shortened end of the season. But it's definitely a crazy time. And with that being said, I wanted to take a moment and just, you know, 2020 has been a hell of a year so far. We've had the coronavirus really take effect and impact a lot of things. And then we've had what's been going on recently across the United States with the death of George Floyd and, you know, at the hands of the cops and stuff like that. And I'm not going to get into a lot of details with that, but I do want to just say, like, as gamers, I think we owe it to ourselves to be important. We owe it to ourselves that we should be respectful and not be assholes out there and not run around and just being dicks and mean to people and using racial slurs and you know, doing things that...
Is this a segue to the Call of Duty segment at the end?
Kind of.
Because there's a lot of assholes on Call of Duty.
Yeah, and, you know, I just think that my big thing that I just wanted to leave at this is, you know, when you're... If you're out there playing online or doing whatever is, you know, try to set the example of being a good human and treating people equally and fairly and respectfully. And
wait a minute, that sounds like the message of Tag.
That too. And... But the thing I was going to end with is if you see somebody that's just being an asshole and using racial slurs and you know, derogatory comments of any walk of life, call them out, tell them it's not all right, and report their ass. I'm sorry. We gotta start putting a line somewhere. And anybody knows anything about gaming culture is it could be some of the most toxic thing out there. And I think as a community, if we can start somewhere, maybe other people can start joining in on that, and eventually we can end that.
I feel like it's gotten better. I feel like it was worse.
True.
The Wild Wild West days of 360.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, right when that whole Gamergate thing hit, I think was the peak of it, and I think it's turned around a little bit. It's I'm not saying it's perfect, but it seems like it's better than it was. But I also think the... player feedback and reporting system improvements that Microsoft has done has made Xbox Live a lot better. I don't feel like I see so many jerks. Although I can't say that about Call of Duty, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the thing is, like, you know, that leads into some of the some of the news stories have come out. Like, a lot of companies are coming out and they're like, we're going to make sure racial names, insensitive names will be banned. You know, we're going to crack down on that. We're going to hit that harder. EA's come out doing that. Activision Blizzard has said those things. I mean, it's just been really, you know, unfortunate, the cause of this that has led to this, that should have been done a long time ago. But I think as humans and gamers, we owe it to ourselves and our hobby and the thing that we enjoy doing in our free time to call out the assholes and put them in their place and let them know that what they're doing is not okay. So I'll get off my soapbox with that and move forward with some other news. You know, there's been quite a news since last time we recorded, especially regarding the PlayStation, and they were supposed to have an event last week, but that got delayed due to several reasons, mainly to do with a lot of the unrest that's been happening across the United States. But they, you know, have talked a lot about their crossplay, and as we know, Xbox has come out and said, "Hey, guys, if you have an Xbox One, every game on Xbox One will be playable going forward onto the Series X." Well, PlayStation's kind of been a little murky about those details. They said that there will be some backwards compatibility, and then they said, like, oh, maybe like 100 titles, but that's kind of grown over time. But there's a couple things that they've definitely come out and said, and one of the big things is any PS4 game that's going into certification in July will have to be playable on the PlayStation 5 going forward. So that's kind of good news. Anything that will come out on the PlayStation 4 starting it from July on will be playable on PlayStation 5. But then they kind of also said anything that is designed for the PlayStation 5 will not be backwards compatible to... Well, hold on. That's... will not be compatible with the PlayStation 4. So Sony is drawing a line in the sand here. They're saying, we are making a console generation jump. Like, we are going to leave people behind, in essence. If you want to play some of these newer games that may come out in the next year or whatever after PlayStation 5 comes out, you have to have a PlayStation 5. And that's a very different marketing strategy that Microsoft has come out and said. So I wonder if that will bite PlayStation in the butt on this. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, it's going to... I don't know. I like Microsoft's approach that I'm not leaving everything I bought behind. That feels awesome. But I can kind of understand if you have to cut the cord because of technological reasons. I mean, Sony's always kind of done weird stuff system to system. This is the closest two architectures. The PS4 and 5 are probably the closest two they've had in a long time. Like, trying to get PS3 games to work on the PS4 required, like, some serious crazy emulation. And same with PS2 on the PS3, because they design radically different machines every time. This time, the two machines are very similar, so I'm wondering why they're doing that, other than it has to do with the speed of the drives. Maybe they're really tying in the speed of the drive with their games in a way that's going to make it hard for them to have that kind of forward and backwards capability. Whereas, you know, with the Series X, they designed that in mind, which I thought was great.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's important because you hit the nail on the head. Like, I'm not leaving everything behind. And PC gamers have had this access for
a long time. Every once in a while, you'll get to a generation where all of a sudden you can't play your old games because of an OS thing or a video card thing. Or, like, when Windows went from 32 to 64, there's a lot of games that wouldn't work anymore. But
I mean, you still have emulators and things like that.
Yeah, that eventually, sure.
To pull that off. But, yeah, I mean, and that's a huge deal, especially with every, you know, the majority of the games I own now are digital. You know, like, you know, I can't sit there and say, oh crap, I gotta keep my Xbox One S around just so I can play the Series X. Like, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I just replace it and move forward, right? So,
right.
I mean,
even the peripherals, which is awesome. That to me, I was like, wait, I don't have to buy another $160 arcade stick. Sweet.
Which is something PlayStation hasn't come out and said yet. They haven't said whether or not, like, headsets and different things will work with the PlayStation going forward. I'm assuming they might or will, because they utilize Bluetooth, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens when it all shakes out. I mean, I just kind of want to see what the box looks like. Hopefully not some of these rendered drawings that artists have done that I've seen lately. So, I mean, Switch, you got any thoughts about this backwards compatibility?
Well, one of the things I was thinking of was that I understand that backwards compatibility is an important thing that people are looking into, but is it possibly more of a, like a, you know, a loud minority, quiet majority kind of thing? Because, I mean, I remember during one of the conversations that Phil Spencer actually had, which says, like, we're continuing with Xbox backwards compatible, but the truth is, people aren't really using it. So, it's one of those situations where, it's terrible that, you know, this is, you know, not that we're not going to be able to pick up anything that we possibly had before, but at the same time, it's like, eventually, at one point, I mean, is it really, like, I guess it's cost effectiveness in terms of the system. Like, is it something that's really worth them investing time and money into in the long run?
Well, I mean, I think all the work's been done on the front end, really. You know, it's done and it's going forward. I mean...
Right.
Well, with what Microsoft is doing, it's actually really easy for them, for the most part. I'm not saying super easy. It's not like something like popping a Switch, but because the OS is just evolving and the chips just evolved, it's not that difficult for them to do it. Maybe for Sony, right. It is.
Well, I mean, you think about, they put all the work into making sure the Series X and the One family are communicating. You know, the hard work really was getting the 360 and the original Xbox games to be backwards compatible. I mean, granted, they ran on emulation, but it still was... that was the hard work. And then allowing, like, the Series X to... Or not the Series X, but the One X to kind of improve the way those games looked by, like, you know, making them X-enhanced or whatever they called it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, like... Microsoft going above and beyond on that stuff. But either way, I mean, it's a cool thing. And, you know, either way, I don't think either company's wrong for what choice they're choosing to do. I just think it's a very different approach that I think it's the first time we've seen them say, hey, we're now going to have very different philosophies on what we're doing going forward. Because before it was just power, power, power. Now it's like, what are the policy? What is going to be your game plan? And will this be something that could hold Sony back? I don't know. I mean,
I will say that I specifically have a 360 only so I can play Scott Pilgrim.
Dude, I got rid of my... I held on my 360 for the longest time, and after I got my one, I even held it for a little while, and then I wasn't playing it, and I got rid of it. And now there's a few games, well, because of backwards compatibility, and there's a few games that have never come to backwards compatible that I own digitally, but only on 360, and I've, like, if I see a cheap one, I may buy it, because there was a really awesome newer version of Afterburner Sega did, of Outrun, mm-hmm. Retro City Rampage DX. I own Scott Pilgrim also, and I can't play that right now, because... yeah, there's a few. Oh, the Darkstalkers fighting game collection was only on 360 Arcade, and there's a bunch that I'm like, oh, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the fighting game. There's a whole bunch. If I had my 360, I could play all those games, but I can't.
It raises really interesting questions about game preservation.
Yeah. Right? And I mean, hopefully if I get another 360, I can go and download those games, and they're not, like missing, like I can't download them ever again. That's what I worry about.
I can say for a fact that I know, like, certain games that are licensed, like Scott Pilgrim in that case, I know for a fact that I can go back and re-download that if I need to. So if you've bought the game, you can't just buy it.
Right. I knew. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, like Forza Horizon 1 I own digitally, and I can download it anytime I want. But if you didn't own it at before a certain time, you can't buy it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because
of licensing music things, yeah.
Right.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but I was just going to say, I do know that one game going forward on the Xbox One will be Metal Gear Solid. What is that one that they just came out with that no one played?
Phantom Pain?
Survival one. No.
Oh, God. Metal Gear Survive, which was...
Survive.
Hoo boy.
It was terrible, but Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain, and the one that came out before that should be playable on the Xbox One Series X because it's backwards compatible. But they're made by a company called Kojima, right, Switch?
Konami. Yeah. actually, was made by Konami. I know that in this news recently, actually, they had it where there was rumors popping up that I've actually heard... both sides, that Sony and Microsoft, one of the two, were actually going to pick up the rights. But unfortunately, Konami did kind of backpedal and say that that's absolutely not true, which to me, as a huge Silent Hill fan, actually, I mean, I can't, on a side note for Silent Hill, I'm unbelievably excited for the Dead by Daylight DLC Silent Hill coming out. But as a Silent Hill fan, that honestly was absolutely crushing, because, I mean, the last thing that we've gotten from Silent Hill was a pachinko machine from Konami. Konami doesn't care about video games anymore.
Dude, tell me about it. As a Castlevania fan, I've just been getting kicked in the nuts by them for, like, quite a while. It's good times.
Konami just...
Hey, you got your spiritual successor there, Hop, so don't...
Yeah, because the guy had to leave the company to do it, just like Kojima had to leave Konami to go do what he wants to do. The Konami's just... I don't know what the hell. They're like... I don't know what they're doing over there.
Let's mention that Bloodstained is one hell of a story, too. Everyone was kind of worried because the pre-builds for Bloodstained were kind of going the way of Mighty No. 9, but when it came out, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it ended up being really good. Now, they did do something. I'm glad that a year before it came out, they did like a beta for PC, and the PC players like really kind of ripped those guys a new one. I'm glad they did, because then they went back in and really fixed the game up, so it was a good thing. Yeah, but it's sad that I mean, the only thing I've gotten out of Konami recently that I've been happy with is they put out the Castlevania and the Contra collections on the digital marketplace. And they say they're Volume 1, but there's been no announcement of Volume 2s, like, for Castlevania. Volume 2 of Contra I care less about, because pretty much we got all the good Contra games on Collection 1. everything else after that is just going to be the terrible PlayStation games. Although there was one good one on PlayStation 2, Shattered Soldier. But anyway, yeah, Konami, I don't know what they're doing there.
Hey, there's always the Netflix anime.
The Castlevania anime is good. Very good.
Yeah.
That's why I'm surprised they're not doing any... Like, there's no Castlevania games in the works or anything. I'm like, you guys are sitting on gold.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on gold.
And with how well those Resident Evil remakes from Capcom are being received, I am so surprised that Konami hasn't actually dipped their toes in a remastering Silent Hill. I'm going to tell you right now, 2 and 3 were remastered. You wouldn't see me for weeks.
2 was awesome. I played the crap out of that game. It was good. The first one was good, but it was clunky. The second one fixed everything about the first one. Yeah, that was good times.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that it's good news in some ways that neither one or the other has received sole ownership of either of those properties.
That's true.
You know, I think that, you know, part of me thinks exclusive, like, titles of games that have been primarily non-exclusive in the past is kind of a, you know, I don't know, really slows down the development of game cycles in some ways. So I really enjoy the fact that there's still going to be these games that are going to be available that everybody can enjoy that have enjoyed them in the past. I mean, I remember one of the biggest gripes I had with Metal Gear early on was I could never play it because I didn't have the systems or the things I could play it with. So
honestly, I agree with you. I'm kind of tired of I'm tired of eating sour grapes over missing out on God of War and Last of Us.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a argument to be said for like companies like Sony and Microsoft to have their own temple titles like Halo, God of War, things like that, that will bring people to their system. But, you know, third party games, you know, I don't know. I feel like they should try to stay as neutral as they can in this sense. So, but I mean, that's kind of wraps it up for some of the news. I mean, there's some other things that happened this week, but, you know, I think what everybody's just more looking forward to is games coming out this month, and there's lots some good games. Ones. Some good
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, I'll run down the list here. We got a long list. Starting June 2nd, there was Liberated on Switch, Little Town Hero on PlayStation 4, and Valorant on PC. I know a bunch of our tag PC guys are all about that game. I know it's an FPS. Other than that, I haven't looked much at it because it's PC only, and when something is PC only, I don't really look at it. So
I can speak to it.
Overwatch, I think.
It's more like I would say Counter-Strike with Overwatch characters, I think is the best way to explain it.
Okay.
It's a hero shooter.
Right. Okay, and then I will say the abilities are not as offensive. Most of their abilities, I don't want to say most, but a lot of their abilities are primarily defensive. But, I mean, of course, you do have quite a few exceptions to the rule. But overall, it's primarily a hero shooter, but I would say it's more like 70% Counter-Strike.
Mm. All right, so we got Awesome P2, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Pro Cycling Manager 2020, some kind of cycling sim, PS4, Xbox, PC. Tour de France 2020, another bicycling sim, that's PS4 and Xbox One. Clubhouse Games, 51 Worldwide Classics on Switch, all right. Outer World Switch port comes out June 5th. Hopefully it's as good as the other ones. Dark Eye, Book of Heroes, PC June 9th. Elder Scrolls Online, the Greymoor expansion drops June 9th. I'm like a whole expansion behind now. I might have just like decided I'm not going back, even though I really enjoyed that game for a little while. A new entry in the Ys video game series. Yes, it's not Wise, Y-S. It's pronounced Ys. Memories of Celcita, PlayStation 4. It's a PS4 exclusive series, which makes me sad. Although they did release Ys Origin on Xbox One. Beyond Blue, PS4, Xbox, PC. Warborn, PS4, Xbox, Switch, PC, and Mac. Desperados 3, PS4, Xbox, PC. That's June 16th. Disintegration, June 16th, PS4, Xbox, PC.
Now, that's the game that was done by some of the ex-Halo people.
Disintegration, is that the one?
Yes, I actually I can talk about this one too. I got a chance to get into the beta, and I, not to be too mean, but it's not really the best right now. It was in a very rough spot. I did notice that they dropped the MSR, or the sale price on it, but the beta just felt super slow, and the graphics were horrible. I don't know how to say it anything else, but seriously, it was bad. Like, I was like, I feel like I'm paying.
Mince words.
It was bad. It was terrible, man. I was so surprised at how, like, just PS3, like, mid PS3 cycle too, not even towards like the end. But the gameplay is just unbelievably slow. It feels like you're on a grav cycle, right? You're on a grav cycle when you're on something that's called a. If you're going to fucking call it a grab cycle, it has to have movement. And this thing felt like I was like flying through mud the entire time. I just wanted to mention that. I heard that they are taking player feedback into consideration with that beta, but I have kind of low hopes for it.
June 18th, Waking, Xbox One and PC. Burnout Paradise Remastered finally hits the Switch June 19th. If you haven't played it yet and you only own a Switch, there you go. Last of Us Part 2, here's the big one for PlayStation 4 fans, June 19th. SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated, June 23rd. That's on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Ninja Law, Switch, June 24th. Blair Witch on Switch, June 25th. Don't play that in the dark. Hunting Simulator 2, PC, June 25th. Phantom Covert Ops, June 25th. It says Rift. I don't even know what that means.
VR.
It's a VR thing. Okay. The Almost Gone, Switch, PC, iOS, and Android, June 25th. Fairy Tail, PS4, Switch, PC, June 26th. Hunting Simulator 2. You get to do all the hunting, and you get none of the jerky. PS4, Xbox One, June 30th. No Straight Roads, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, June 30th. And now, the last game of the month, Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 3 on Switch, June 30th. Woo! There was another list that had even more stuff, and I was like, okay, this is probably good.
I just want to point out No Straight Roads. I've actually had my eye on that game for a little while. That looks phenomenal. What is this? It's this, like, it's an indie game, of course, but it's done by, I want to say it's Devolver Digital, the guys who did the Hotline Miami series and things like that. It's nothing like Hotline, but the art style is more
rhythm,
like...
It's a rhythm game?
It's got, like, more like, that's, you know, side parts to it, but it's actually, the art style looks like Psychonauts, and... I really enjoyed Psychonauts as kind of like how they did their art style on it. But essentially, I mean, it is a silly game. It's about where EDM has taken over the world, and these two people who like do rock music are fighting EDM. So the whole game is, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek, but I'm really looking forward to that.
Gonna have to keep an eye on that. I really feel like we should do some kind of thing where Hop has to play some of these games that like we've never heard of, like Fairy Tail. Oh, wait, that's on PlayStation.
Fairy Tail's an anime, isn't it?
I don't know. Waking. Waking, yeah. Let's have Hop play Waking. Because, I mean, you're going through this list, I'm like, nope, haven't heard of that one. Nope.
Boy, I pull up the list and, you know, I only play on Xbox, so I don't even, like I said, I don't look at PC releases and I don't really look at PlayStation releases.
It's fair. Well.
Not because I don't think they're cool, just because I don't have access to play them, so I never even look at them.
It's understandable. I mean, it's definitely, you know, there's, what, 20 years ago, it would be 20, 30 years ago, maybe, you'd get maybe one or two games a month for all of the consoles and PC and stuff, you know? And
I think it goes in waves, like at the peak of a system's popularity, like during the heyday of the 16-bit, like probably like 92, 93, the Super NES is already 2 years old, Genesis was like 4 or 5 years old, there were probably at least 10 games each a month for those machines coming out. They were just farming them out. Like, but it took a while to get there. When they first come out, the games like trickle because it's new development kits, it's new development teams, they're trying to feel out what works. These newer machines are more evolutionary than revolutionary, so I feel like it will never be that slow again. Gaming has come, and more people are programmers now. Like, you try and get the amount of people in 1994 that could code assembly language for a Motorola 68000 processor could probably fill one house, and now people that can program for games because of the ease of programming now, it's a totally different world.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that you could do, though, Hop, is if you want to buy something in the future, or anybody else wants to buy something in the future, go to Amazon.com and find what you want to buy, copy the link, and post it in our Discord server, and you can get a new link chewed out from our affiliate bot that allows us to get a small kickback of what you want to buy. I mean, you can buy anything you want. You can buy beef jerky, if that's really what you want when you're playing your hunting simulator, because you can't really have it.
Exactly, because you can't have it afterwards. That's a brilliant idea.
You know, and...
Hey, I got my monitor that way.
There you go, yeah. If you are into some tech gear and you know you want to buy a new headset or new TV or monitor, just paste the link in the Discord server from Amazon.com and...
I did use the affiliate link for the TV.
There we go.
I did that.
It just gives us a small kickback, and you could do that in Canada, and you can do that here in the United States as well. If you're in Canada, make sure you use the Canadian Amazon link and post it, because otherwise you can't buy from U.S. stuff. So with that being said, it's time for our community question, and I have a wonderful question from our friend of the show, Anthem. He is our Halo expert, if you will, right? I mean, he's our Halo guy, right?
I would agree with that.
You know, if you want to talk about Halo or play Halo, he's the guy to go to. But Anthem asked a really good question, and I think it's a good one, and it's a quick and easy one. But he asked, what is your favorite horde mode in games, and why is it Mass Effect 3?
Man, that's a tough one for me. I think for me, it's kind of a tie between Mass Effect 3 and Gears of War 3. I love the horde modes in both of those games so hard. Mass Effect 3, because of the way you can work on your characters. Gears of War 3, because of it had the perfect mix of gear to hold yourself up in on those maps, and enemy types to fight against, and boss battles every 10 waves. I thought it was great. I really didn't like what they did with Horde in Gears 4 or Gears 5 compared to Gears 3.
I would actually agree with you on that. I think the Gears series clearly has, like, pretty much the godfather of Horde mode, so I'll have to go with Gears myself. I do want to mention World War Z has a phenomenal horde mode.
Yeah, I've played that a couple times too. You know what else had a good horde mode, horde type mode that was fun? And this is a nice throwback for Tay, is Call of Duty Ghosts, that alien invasion.
Aliens Extinction?
Dude, that was awesome. That was a blast. I used to play that with Rockin' Yankee. Shout out to Rockin' Yankee out there.
Yeah, and also I think that Call of Duty itself, the whole zombies thing, I mean, every time they have that, it's not my personal cup of tea, but I respect how much work and innovation goes into those.
Yeah, I feel like, so, you know, I got Black Ops 4 last year, and I loved the zombies mode was cool, and it looked great, but I feel like they need to revamp kind of the mechanics of it. I felt like Killing Floor 2 does what Call of Duty Zombie does better.
I would agree with that. I like the idea that it ends. You know, it doesn't get to a point where, eventually you're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that's the point behind horde modes a lot of times, but I like point A, point B kind of game type where, you know, I know there's going to be like a final boss or a final wave, like Killzone.
I like the way they do it
in Gears Killing 3, Floor.
I thought it was fun. Gears 3, I thought it was fun because the waves would start slow, and then they'd get progressively harder, and then every 10 waves you'd get like a boss wave, and it would be like stupid hard, and you would probably lose all your stuff, and then the waves would slow down again. The next wave, wave 11 would still be harder than wave 1, but it wasn't as hard as wave 9, and then they would slowly let you build up your gear again for the next boss wave, and if you had a good team going, you could really have some fun with that mode. It was a blast.
Definitely.
I don't know where they went. For me, for some reason, with Gears 4, the horde mode just didn't feel the same. And same with 5. 5 was okay, but still didn't have that.
See, I liked 5 better than 4.
I would agree. I liked the horde mode in 5 better than 4. I would agree with that.
I think 5 got a lot of people quit on it early because it was like character based, whereas it was never that way earlier on. It was just, you know, play whoever you wanted to play as and then just shoot and kill and curb stomp. But 5 was all character based. You had to level them up, you had to get them stronger, have better cards and things. And 4 was more, they tried to introduce like that tower defense piece to it that I didn't really think
meshed well. I think so. That's what was wrong with 4, but you're right, they did tweak that for 5 and make that a lot better. I'd give 5 a fair shake on that. I don't know, Gears without Cliffy B has been rough for me.
I really liked their breakout mode, or what was that called?
Hive mode, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I think it was like, as a huge Gears PvP fan, the PvP in Gears 5 just drove me away. It just drove me away from the game. I thought the story was great, the campaign was good, and the horde was alright, but the PvP was really, really not fun for a long-time Gears fan. I don't know. Get off my lawn. Yep. It could just be me, but I know a couple other old-school die-hard Gears fans, and none of them play it. None of them like it.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I will say my favorite horde mode was Mass Effect 3.
We played the crap out of that. Intake.
And I enjoyed Mass Effect Andromeda as well. I thought it was a solid horde mode. I thought it was more challenging than 3 was, because I felt like at a certain point in time with 3, you were just... You knew what you were doing.
We played it for a little while, and we tried to get a group going, but it just didn't seem to have the same. So to me, like, the horde mode in Andromeda was kind of like going from Gears 3 to Gears 4. They added too many variables that slowed down the fun of what made that horde mode fun. Like in Mass Effect 3, it would get really frantic and crazy, and then in Mass Effect 4 Andromeda, there were moments where it slows down too much and there's too many specializations going on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think the grind in the Andromeda side was harder probably to enjoy it, but I will say there was one that I was surprised wasn't mentioned, was Firefight from Halo. And
I liked Firefight. I liked the Reach the Reach Firefight,
that was good. But I actually really enjoyed the ODST Firefight one? No, from the Warzone Firefight from 5.
Okay.
You know, I enjoy the component they put in there with the cards and the, like, you can use those, you can buy specific weapons and vehicles and to use them to in the later battles to take down the larger bosses that were, you know, much more difficult to go at. And if you had a team of like a good team, that you could easily take down those like mythic and heroic bosses a lot faster. So you know, but yeah, those are my horde modes. I mean, there's been a ton over the years that weren't never really called horde modes, the, like, you know, the survival, like how long you can survive type stuff. So you know, but
what about you, McSwitch?
Actually, I was going to mention on the opposite end of the spectrum, one of the worst horde modes I've ever played was Bulletstorm. And only because in Bulletstorm for their horde mode, that's how bad it was. But in their horde mode, they would give you objectives that were not exactly that easy. And the problem is, when you're trying to get 4 to 5 people randomly trying to do a specific objective in a specific amount of time, and not allowing you to progress unless you do that objective, is kind of frustrating. So
I never played it.
Oh man, it was so bad. But my favorite, though, I actually have to default to Mass Effect 3. That I agree. I had the most fun playing that.
Was Bulletstorm the game from People Can Fly?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
The guys that went on to do Gears of War Judgment.
Yeah. That game was fun. I enjoyed the single player.
The campaign was cool. Yeah.
I didn't remember. I think Spike Spiegel was the voice of the main character.
Steven Blum. Yeah. I love that dude's voice. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks, Anthem. If you have another community question, feel free to shoot it to my DMs on Discord, and I will log it in and go from there. And you know, ask the panel and see what they think. Switch, what have you been playing?
Hoo boy. Okay, so coincidentally with this episode, I actually haven't been playing as much Call of Duty as normal. I do have to put an asterisk that when I say not as much as normal, I mean like I'm not playing maybe every other 2 days. For me, that's a lot. I've actually been dipping into quite a few different games. Most recently, I really kind of got into a game called Hunt Showdown. It's not a new game. It's actually been out for, I think, about at least 2 years now. Now, when the game first came to console, because it is actually, it started on PC, it was Steam, but when it came to console, it was a hot mess. It was crashing issues. The graphics were god-awful. It just was unbelievably unplayable. Well, Xbox recently had a free weekend, and I dipped my toes back into it, and it's incredible. I'm absolutely in love with it. It's a kind of like 3v3v3v, you know, like multiple teams on one map trying to take out either one to two separate bosses, and you can fight each other for the right to kill or even the bounty of killing those monsters. So not only do you have to deal with you know, literally tracking these monsters down, but you also have to deal with the, you know, coming across players and things like that who can actually kill you while you're doing searching. So it's an extremely, extremely tense game, but it's unbelievably fun. Other than that, I've also really got into a game called Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is I don't even know how to explain it. It is an indie game. It's very short. You can beat it in like 6-7 hours. Oh, no, not even that. Maybe 3 or 4. But it's primarily music-based. They essentially took an album and created a game out of it. The album, I can guarantee you it's not going to be either yours or Hop's cup of tea, but I love it. If you're into like that syrupy kind of like EDM pop, kind of like Churches or Purity Ring, anyone who knows what that band is probably going to end up enjoying this. Other than that, I've also been playing Maneater, which, I mean, you guys know I was hyping that game up for at least about a month before it came out. Loved it. I ended up playing like 6-7 hours straight one day, Saturday when it came out. Other than that, I also been playing Warface with Taylor Tuesday. Warface Breakout, which is a side project from the Warface team. Now, Warface, that game is not good. Warface Breakout is surprisingly, they put way more work into Breakout than they ever did Warface, I would argue. Breakout is essentially Counter-Strike with the aim down sights mechanics of Call of Duty. It's nowhere near as good as one of those two, unless we're talking about that god-awful CSGO port in Xbox. It's definitely better than that. But it is pretty much Counter-Strike. You buy your weapons during of every round. That's been a lot of fun. It just came out, I think, less than a month ago. The support team and the people behind the game are actually much more vocal with Breakout than they are the original game Warface. So I've been kind of enjoying that. But other than that, pretty much just Call of Duty. Pretty much just Call of Duty. What about you? Fenn. One of the two.
Let's see. I've been working on Streets of Rage 4.
Hoo boy, it's good.
Hard mode playthrough, which is, at some levels I get better than others. Almost have all the characters unlocked. Just loving that game. One of these days where I was bored and had nothing to do, I was like, you know what? I haven't finished my Halo Reach 4K HDR playthrough, so I did that, and I forgot how good that campaign was. I would rate that one, you know, mid to high tier now. I think if I were to re-rate my Halo campaigns, I was kind of salty when the game first came out that the Reach game didn't follow the Reach book story, but it's like, it's the other story of Reach, so I've accepted that now, and I'm okay with it, and it's great. I'm still working on my playthrough of Ion Fury. That game is hilarious. I took a bunch of funny screenshots. If you guys go to my Xbox Live profile or whatever, you know, it shows my feed. I took a bunch of screenshots of funny ass stuff in that game, posters and just in gags. Super obscure Japanese old school shoot 'em up was re-released on Xbox One. You get both of the old versions of the games plus a new totally crazy remastered game. It's the Vassara Collection. That game's awesome, but man, is it fucking hard. That's one of those games where...
Is it a shmup?
It's a shoot 'em up, yeah. You sit down, you play it, and you die a lot. And then after a while, you get good enough, you can beat the first boss without dying, and then you're on level 2 and you die a lot. And then, you know, it's one of those games that takes time to build up that kind of
muscle memory.
Muscle memory reflexes to get through the game, but I'm loving it. And then, you know, Fireman talked my ear off about playing Plunder on Modern Warfare, so I finally jumped in and played some Plunder, and what do you know, I actually really, really like that mode. I'm having a ton of fun. I like it more than I think the regular Battle Royale, which is crazy to me, but it's fun. I'm having a good time with it. What have you been playing, Finn?
You know, other than Call of Duty, I finally rolled credits on The Surge 2 the other
day.
Yay! Oh, it's so good. So much fun. I started the new game plus just to kind of toy around with it. But I probably won't go too far into it. Because it, you know, it's a story driven game, and sometimes like story driven games to me, just they don't offer enough variety to them that keeps me wanting to keep playing through the story. The challenge is definitely there, but I just don't have the desire to go through it. All the way. They talked about some surprises. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be worth it. But it was a lot of fun. I will definitely suggest if you like Dark Souls or those type of games that require just like that methodical think it through and kind of repetitive practice on certain areas to really figure it out, then The Surge 2 is awesome. It has really cool mechanics that I think is really makes the game a lot of fun to play. And then I've been playing a little bit of, haven't really gotten too far in it, but Minecraft Dungeons. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's like Diablo Lite, a very simplified version of Diablo. You're not really making builds. You're just really playing and getting new weapons.
But there's weapons and armor and stuff for it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you can... I mean, you could if you really wanted to make a build.
Oh, people are going to have builds.
But it's not really designed, I feel, that way. It's not designed to loot your way to a specific
to breaking build. The game. So yeah. Basically, Dave shouldn't even bother because he can't break it.
Well, I'm sure he could. He always finds ways to break games. But, no, it's just, it's, I mean, it's super simple. I mean, one of the things I really enjoy about it is, like, when you enchant your sword, a level 1 sword, when you enchant it, you're like, great, I've enchanted it, I've leveled it up, I have all these enchantments on it, it's great. Well, when you go to destroy it, you get all those enchantments back, so you're never really, like, losing anything. So it's not the, like, risk of, oh, if I enchant this, I will out-level the sword in the matter of 5 minutes. Well, it doesn't matter if you out-level it, because you just destroy it, get your enchantments back, and then put it onto a new sword. So it's just, it's super simple, it's great. It's got some quirks to it that's kind of fun. There's apparently a really big Diablo reference in it that I haven't come across yet, but I kind of look forward to it. So that's it. I'm toying around with some ideas on some new games I may start sometime in the near future. I don't know what they will be yet. I've toyed with Jedi Fallen Order.
It's on sale.
I know. I've also toyed with just waiting until Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning comes out in August, because I loved that game back on the 360. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But what I do know is Thursday nights for mainly Xbox, but we try to spread out, is what night, huh?
It's game night. Thursday night game night. And let's see what we got. June 4th was Halo 5. That was this past Thursday. Next Thursday, June 11th, is Destiny 2. No crossplay on that. It's mostly us on Xbox. But hey, if you guys on the PS4 side want to get a whole crew together and do some custom games, do it. June 18th is Halo MCC. No crossplay yet. June 25th, Human Fall Flat. I've never played the multiplayer mode. I don't even know if I have that game. Somebody else was talking up about how fun that is. That'll take us for June, and then the first Thursday in July we'll be back to Halo 5.
All right. I think Ghost Touch is the one that really enjoy.
Yeah, somebody was talking about in the Discord.
Talking about Human Fall Flat as a good game to play as a multiplayer. So, we do still have a book club going, and through this month, and I think maybe even next month, the book for a book club is chosen by Captain Nink. It's I haven't read it, but I've been kind of following the discussion on it a little bit. But it's called "This Is How You Lose the Time War" by Amal El-Mahtar and Max Gladstone. Apparently, it's a really trippy science fiction book, but a lot of fun. People seem to have enjoyed it so far. And if you want to join in the book club, add yourself to the book club role, and you can see those two channels related to the book club. Well, we have some time, and I want to... We could probably go on for the next 6 hours about this topic if we really wanted to. So, you know, Mick Switch is one of those guys that he alluded to earlier, that he's really heavily invested into the Call of Duty franchise. And at some point in time, myself and Hop have gone back and forth with Call of Duty, but... It's definitely one of those tentpole franchises that exists in video games ever since really Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It's kind of just been a yearly phenomenon that won't quit every year in the fall. So I want you guys to kind of talk a little bit about why Call of Duty is a game that's important to you as a gamer. Like, what about this series or franchise rather that has like just sunk its teeth into you and you can't quit? So I'll let you go ahead and start, Switch, because you know you're the guy, you're the Call of Duty guy, so
oh boy, all right. I hope you guys are sitting down. I hope you're you know, strapped in, you got your water and you drink your coffee, drink your tea, because oh boy, I got some history in this game. So of course, you know, it is one of the I've got at least a solid 12 years worth of history on this game. I, you know, like Fenson saying, I've actually been playing this game since the original Call of Duty 2 launched with the Xbox 360. I actually started with that one. I ran, we used to run private lobbies and things like that, just sniping back and forth back when the game first came out. The reason I actually have always loved this game is, truthfully, the time to kill. It's always felt, I mean, there's been a few installments that are a little off bit there, but the time to kill is just, it's perfect. It's, you know, not too slow, not too fast, unless you're playing hardcore. But it's just the years, it's just the most consistent, I guess the feeling of it on console has always been so perfect. For me, I mean, granted, there's things like Halo and things like that, but in terms of just the mechanics and how the game actually feels, speaking solely on console, it is like, it's my bread and butter. You know, there's no other game that kind of compares to how their shooting mechanics feels on console, especially when it comes to aim down sight time as opposed to anything else. It's, I think it's, like I said, I mean, I respect Halo, but at the end of the day, Call of Duty is kind of the reigning champ and the most highest-selling franchise of all time on console. So, I mean, it's... Plus, I mean, I also do have a lot of personal history. Flash forward, I've made a lot of money playing Call of Duty. I actually, back when Call of Duty Ghosts and Call of Duty Modern Warfare were out, I used to play competitively. I played online and did a lot of matches and things like that. I actually, in Call of Duty Ghosts, you used to lead a clan. I don't know if any of you guys remember, but Ghosts had this extremely innovative, a clan system where you could actually run a clan and you could compete against other clans. The reason I bring this up is because, actually, that's how I ended up meeting Taylor. Taylor was my second string on my clan that I used to run, and we became friends. And because of that game, because of Call of Duty, flash forward I think about 4 to 5 years ago, I moved to Indiana. To, you know, of course, to be with Taylor, and if it wasn't for Call of Duty, that never would have happened. So, I mean, for me personally, I have a lot of, personal time and investment in this game, and, plus, I just enjoy the game. I mean, I know I spit a lot of, vitriol about the game, and I get a little angry and things like that because I'm competitive nature. But at the end of the day, I mean, out of all the games that just helps me kind of kick back and relax, it's this game. It certainly doesn't sound that way, but that's the truth. What about you, Hump?
Well, so, like, I don't even know what platform the first game came out. Was it on PC or maybe PlayStation?
Yep,
it was
when Big Red One.
Okay, it was when I, yeah, I didn't play it. I got
on the original Xbox, too.
Was it?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, yep. I didn't play it. I didn't play it until the 360 came out and COD 2 came out. And at the time, it was a refreshing change of pace from, I had been playing a ton of Counter-Strike PC, and then I went to play it on the original Xbox and Halo. So it was different because it was World War II, and it was a lot of fun. And then what was after COD 2? There was COD World at War.
World at War. Another,
yeah, three. I didn't. I don't think was it COD 3, but it was more
World. No, War he's right. Hop's right. It was COD 3, and then it was Modern Warfare. Yeah, after Fenn. That.
Well, Fenn, sorry. Okay, but yeah. So I didn't play. I didn't play COD 3 because I was like, well, I don't want more World War 2. I'm kind of done with that. Like, and then Modern Warfare came out, and I actually wasn't gonna get it because I was really addicted to Gears, but a buddy of mine bought it for me. He's like, he had beaten it and he went out to the store and bought a copy of Gears. He's like, dude, you gotta play this, this is amazing, because the campaign was really good. And I actually agreed. I was like, oh, this is really good. And so I really enjoyed it. And then, like, I've kind of had a hot cold relationship with the series, where if I'm really into another game that's giving me my PvP fix, I may not look for Call of Duty, but it's always there. It's like that friend that's, you know, it's like that old album that's always around that you can listen to that's always awesome. Like, it always hits those same, or a band. It's like Iron Maiden. I love Iron Maiden. Not all their albums are great. It's like Call of Duty, but you know it's going to be a rockin' time, right? So it was like, I don't think I played Modern Warfare 2. I think I played a little bit of 3. But I didn't come back to the series really again until Ghosts, which is, like, for a lot of people. And I think I played Black Ops 1, but I never played Black Ops 2. A lot of people kind of crapped on Ghosts, but I thought Ghosts was pretty fun. And mainly it was because my Gears group, the Maximus guys, Gears was kind of dead on 360. There was nothing going on, so we were playing Ghosts. And it was a lot of fun. And then and then after Ghosts, I did not touch a Call of Duty until last year, when Fireman and Big J talked me into buying Black Ops 4 just to play Blackout. So Blackout's what brought me back to Call of Duty on this generation. I skipped all of those other things. Black Ops 3, Infinity Warfare,
Infinite Warfare.
Zombie, Infinite Warfare, what else? All these other spinoffs they did for the past couple years. Didn't play, and not that they're bad, I just was busy playing other things. But yeah, it's always just been a really well made solid series, and certain games have mechanics I think gel better for me than others. I really liked the Blackout mode in Black Ops 4. The PvP I wasn't totally sold on until the very end, right before I got Modern Warfare and McSwitch, and I was playing Heist with you and Taylor. That was a lot of fun. I liked that mode.
Heist was amazing. Yeah, that
was cool. It was a nice hybrid between Counter-Strike and Call of Duty. And then, you know, originally I wasn't going to get Modern Warfare, but the rumors of a new Battle Royale were coming out, and then a fireman was saying, oh, I actually really like the multiplayer, it's a lot of fun. And you were telling me not to buy it.
Well, hold on now.
You did.
I did. I'll eat those words. But that's like you telling me not to buy Gears of War 5. But then again, you also don't play Gears 5, so I guess that point's null and void. But that's true.
I would never tell anybody. I would tell people, if you're expecting Gears 2 and 3 PvP, don't buy Gears of War 5. Or if you're buying it for just PvP, maybe not get Gears of War 5. But anyway, right. And I think, I mean, I can see when there's ups and downs. I think, you know, we could also get into the difference between the Infinity Ward games versus the Treyarch games versus the, I think Sledgehammer got absorbed into
They still both, exist. They're just
they still exist, but they're not making their own game anymore. Right, yeah, they're being used as labor to help either of the other teams.
Which right is now they're helping Treyarch, because Treyarch's got... They're supposed to be the one that's releasing...
Right, allegedly. And the rumors of the new one is
Call of Duty Cold War.
It's like a Cold War prequel to Black Ops, sort of. It seems like it's in the Black Ops universe, but it's going to take place in the mid to late 80s. Or that could be a flashback. Who knows?
The most current rumors are circulating that it's going to be all over the place. There's rumors that it's going to set in the future. There's going to be in the 80s. So
it's going to jump around. It's going to be like a Tarantino movie. I'm cool. As long as I like the Treyarch games. I have a buddy that works for them, so I always feel better when I buy one of their games that he's getting paid. So,
hey, Treyarch's also Infinity Ward kind of started with Modern Warfare, but I know that after that was Treyarch. They did World at War, which was at the time.
Infinity Ward did the first. They did Call of Duty 1 and 2.
Mostly meant like the when the multiplayer part of it kind of exploded.
Oh, split off, right? Okay, yeah. I get what you're saying.
So,
I mean, I will say one of the reasons I enjoy Call of Duty, and honestly, I played Call of Duty 2, 3, 4, and then didn't touch it again until Blackout 4. But the reason I always enjoyed Call of Duty was mainly the single player. I enjoy the set pieces. They have good
campaigns. And the Ghost, I'm still mad that there was no sequel to Ghost, because that campaign left you on a cliffhanger, man.
I've heard so many people just whine and complain about that. Get over it. Move on. It's never going to happen.
I'm not going to let Zayla say that.
So many people. He's talking to to me, you, and Tay right now.
Yeah. Anyways.
We're like the only people that actually... Yeah.
I Modern Warfare, this current entry in the franchise, this campaign was awesome. I mean, it had all the big explosions and the big set pieces that really set it off, and it's really, really cool on how they did that, and how they connected it back to the original Modern Warfare from Call of Duty 4. So I think it's kind of cool that they're kind of building these individual
soft
Marvel reboots. Cinematic Universe type things. You know, you have your Modern Warfare universe, your Black Ops universe, and all this stuff. I'd be interested to see if they kind of pull off a big, let's put it all together. Like, let's put the Black Ops universe together with the Modern Warfare universe and let them go after something. I don't know. Like, have Thanos come out of nowhere and they have to stop him from snapping his fingers. I don't know. Like, it's just, I think it's really cool that Call of Duty's been able to pull off these huge, major, cool stories. And I know that some of them haven't always hit and they haven't been always perfect. But I mean, I will always remember the all gillied up mission. Like,
yeah, and Modern Warfare. Yeah.
Yeah.
That campaign was amazing. And the newest game, the campaign was really good. There were some parts that were just downright almost disturbing in a way. Like, playing just from a psychological standpoint, playing those kids going through what they had to go through, I was like, oh, that's horrible. But it's probably not too far from a reality for people in certain countries where this kind of stuff is going on.
But I think the multiplayer has always been enjoyable, but like, I never really played it religiously, if you will. Like, I thought it was fun, it was engaging, but I just never really was like, oh yeah, I'm always gonna play it every single night. But like you said, Hop, you said something earlier that I really like resonated with, which was, you know, if I didn't have anything else to play or any other shooter or something that I was really into at the time, then I would probably gravitate towards Call of Duty and as kind of like to fill that void in a way. But I will say, going forward, though, I'm really excited to see what they do. Like, what do you guys want the franchise... What would you like the franchise to pull off going forward?
Yeah. Well, before I answer that, the one thing that I think has been really addicting for me this time, and I feel like they found a little piece, and I'm pretty sure they're going to use this going forward. It's the whole gunsmithing thing is like crack for me.
I agree.
I'm so into it. I'm like, okay, so if I swap this part and put this on, how's this feel? Okay, if I put this tack laser on, now I can actually pull the trigger fast. You know, like, and I a lot of the rumors about the next game are saying that the gunsmithing will be back, and I feel like that's been, for me, the thing that's kept me kind of hooked. It's like the little feedback loop that has me going right now on the current game, so I'm hoping going forward they keep that. And then I would love to see them do something like the gunsmithing with like the character customization look or something, like tack jackets, boots, pants, like, but then maybe they couldn't sell you skins. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, go into that. Oh no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, that's gonna be definitely hard to, you know, they're always looking for a way to monetize, you know. That's the unfortunate side of the coin, you know, even though they sell you a $60 game that,
right,
you know, and then you can get a battle pass.
But at least they're not breaking up the servers for the DLC. I appreciate that now. That was always kind of a pain before.
Yeah, that is something that I think is a trend that we won't see probably again for hopefully a very long time, where map packs are separate costs that completely destroy player base. So, you know, I really think that going forward, I'd really like to see, you know, obviously still a campaign, because I think that, you know.
Yeah, that was a bummer with Black Ops 4 having no campaign.
Yeah, I mean, and
I'm
sure
there's supposed to be.
Well, yeah, and there's tons of people. They clearly had the numbers to be able to say we could probably pull this off and sell a game without a campaign, and they did. They pulled it off pretty dang well. I mean, there's probably a good portion of people who never touch or finish or get to a certain point in the campaign that they felt comfortable enough to say that. So, and they have that data. So. I just hope that they continue to keep the campaign, because that's just something that I enjoy with the game. Like, you know, unless there's something groundbreaking, I mean, the Modern Warfare's Warzone, or do you call it Modern Warfare Warzone, or is it just Warzone?
I guess it depends on the client you download.
But Warzone being supported for the next year, like, I may not get the next Call of Duty, because I may not have necessarily a need to play that, so...
Right.
You know, but we'll see what happens with whatever comes out. I mean, the Cold War would be kind of a cool thing to do, but maybe this ADHD time jumps that you mentioned earlier may not be something I'd be interested in necessarily. I kind of like a good singular story that kind of goes straight for it and my shooters, so.
Wait, you don't like a totally confusing Kojima-like plot where the story jumps all over the place and you can't make heads or tails of it, and then when you beat the game, you're just scratching your head?
Oh, so nope. Black Ops 3?
I never played the campaign in Black Ops 3.
You literally just described Black Ops 3. I mean, if you ever get a chance to pick that up, I mean, Chris Maloney's in it, so.
That's hilarious.
Hey, you guys remember that time Kevin Spacey was in Call of Duty?
Oh, God. Yeah, which one was that in?
That was the worst Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, the space one, right?
Where they that was hot trash. Wasn't Infinite? No, yeah, Infinite. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Infinite had Jon Snow in it.
Which is the one? Which is the one that looked like Halo? Was that Infinite?
Where it was, that was like, Infinite. It was like, yeah,
Halo.
Yeah. So, one thing, Hop. I'm sorry, Finn. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think Call of Duty's bread and butter is sticking to somewhat realist in the realism world. You know, not getting too far.
Agreed.
Into like having exo rigs that allows you to wall run and jump. Like, don't be Titanfall. Like, just stick to your realistic type. You know, settings. You know, it could be.
Yeah, I do feel like that was a response to the guys breaking off and forming Respawn and doing Titanfall. That they were like, we got to do something somewhat futuristic because Titanfall is gonna steal all our players. But it didn't really.
No.
No. One thing I would love to see make a comeback, actually, is that aforementioned clan system that they had in Ghosts. The way that the clan system actually worked was you had the separate phone app where you would get into a kind of like how regiments are in Modern Warfare, except they took it a step further where you could actually have clan wars. And the clan wars, you would sign up for them on your phone, and then you would actually go and play matches. And what the matches were not against like clan versus clan specifically. It was more like how many games can a certain clan win in a certain amount of time. And if you won, depending on how many times you won, you would actually get like certain gear, like certain skins. And I love that because it was like, it was something to accomplish where if someone in a match was wearing certain gear, you knew they put the time into their clan to actually get that gear. And I really wish they would bring that back.
That's kind of a cool system.
I remember we used it, but I don't think we utilized it maybe to that extent.
I had a whole Instagram for it.
Jeez, man. That's awesome.
I'm going to come in with a hot take, a little spicy for you. I miss loot boxes. I know. Let me explain. I miss cosmetic loot boxes because Modern Warfare, I mean, I love the fact that the DLC is free. Absolutely, of course. But I don't like spending $20 for one thing out of 10 things I get when in reality I only wanted that one thing. So I actually kind of miss cosmetic loot boxes.
I could see that. I really, yeah, I mean, their prices on their cosmetics are kind of high. I really thought the price model for Titanfall 2's cosmetics were really fair. They were cheap, and like it made me want to buy more of them because I was like, oh, it's $5 and I get all these camos and all this stuff for my mech and my dude. Okay. And then like 2 weeks later, they'd have another one. I was like, oh, I like that one too. And then, but when like one character with a couple reskins of guns with some other parts on them and like a keychain, an in-game keychain is like $24, I'm like,
exactly. No.
Are you
exactly? Or give me a way to work towards something. I think the best loot box system they ever had actually in Call of Duty was the Modern Warfare Remaster, where you could use salvage from duplicates that you got from loot boxes to actually earn the skin or whatever you wanted directly from the store. And I want them to bring that back. I think that was a good idea.
I'm sure there's a money loop somewhere mixed with you. They're like, oh, that didn't.
Oh, the amount of money? Oh, my gosh. For us.
You know what I mean?
No, they're never going to do it again because of how much money Modern Warfare has made them.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, at least right now, I agree with you on that. But I feel like the current model for the Battle Pass is really good because $10, you get, if you finish it, you get a lot of cool stuff. I mean, you don't even have to pay anything and you get some cool stuff, but you get a lot of cool stuff if you put in the time, and it's stuff that's all semi kind of neat, whereas, and this is just a comparison to the Destiny 2 Battle Pass, I felt like was a waste of my money. The levels were really slow to grind, and the gear was worthless. Like, the stuff they gave you doesn't help anything. So I'm really happy with the Battle Pass system. And at least on Call of Duty, during the Battle Pass, you earn enough credits to buy the next one. Like, I only bought the first one, and I've just been using the credits to buy it each time it comes around. I like that. I think that's cool. That'll probably go away because they'll figure out that people aren't spending enough money. I don't know.
No, I would agree with you. The Battle Pass is great. I think my qualms are really primarily with the store and those like ridiculous $20 price tag for. I mean, I know, you know, people are going to pay it. Doesn't matter. It's just like $20. I mean, that's $20 down the drain. And if you end up buying a skin that's like you really enjoy, and then you know spend $20 on that, 2 weeks later you'll get another like endless cycle. You're like, at what point does it end? I mean, what am I have to spend 20, 40, 60, 80, you know, nine, like $100-something over these skins that I can't even like set up randomly. I guess I wish maybe it had like a shuffle random skin option like Fortnite has.
Oh, maybe that might be cool.
Yeah, but like if you're buying one skin and you use it, you know you'll never be able to use the other skin. So it's like you wasted money because you're no longer using those older skins. They're just going to sit in your inventory.
Yeah, possibly.
Or you could just not buy skins.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Just throwing that out there. I mean, that's kind of my logic. Just like, it becomes a never ending loop of, to me, of just, oh, I want that. I'm going to buy that. Now I'm going to, oh, I want that one too. I'm going to buy it. But, you know, I could care less. I've been wearing the same. I unlocked the skin for the golem guy that came with the game, and I've not stopped wearing it because I don't really.
Yeah, I only bought, the only one I bought was the one that supports veterans, because I like that the money all went to veterans.
Yeah, there was that too.
The endowment.
Yeah, that's yeah. Only, yeah. Yeah, that's the only one you gotta bought. I mean, if they had like the only thing that would get me like all in on a skin for $20 is if they got some license with G.I. Joe and they had a Snake Eyes skin in the store, I'd buy that in a heartbeat. Done.
Man, I would love to see especially some licensed skins like that. Like maybe, you know, I know Sarah Connor was in Gears, but like a Sarah Connor skin in Call of Duty, I'd buy that in a heartbeat.
Way more sense in Call of Duty. It stuck out like a sore thumb in Gears. I was like, what is this doing in Gears?
You know, I think it would be interesting. It'd be cool if they could pull that off. I mean, Fortnite does it, and they get away with it pretty well.
Yeah, they had like Star Wars skins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the thing we have to remember here, though, guys, is Fortnite is a free game. Call of Duty is $60. Well, I guess maybe because Warzone's free, that's point. You know, it's null and void too. But if you look at multiplayer, that's still $60 you're dropping. So you're dropping $60 for the multiplayer, and then $20 for the skin, or like a skin you want. Fortnite. The only reason I hate Fortnite. Don't get me wrong, but I probably shouldn't say that. The reason I give Fortnite actually like pass is because the game is free, like through and through, unless you buy the Save the World mode, but nobody plays that.
So I mean, you know, there's arguments to be said, and you know, we had a conversation a couple months ago on an episode where we kind of talked about Battle Royale in terms of like what makes one Battle Royale maybe better for you than the other, and you know, one of the reasons we talked a little bit about Fortnite was just because it kind of jump started the genre in a way. You know, PUBG was already big, but like Fortnite really took over for the world. And but you're right, it's free. It but they make all their money on skins. I mean, they were printing what, millions of dollars a day on skins. I mean, so that's what I said earlier. You know, you can thank Fortnite for the $20 skins because they proved that it makes money. So, I mean, Call of Duty, it's a great game. Obviously, it's really cool. You know, it has its following. If it didn't have its following, they wouldn't be putting out a new Call of Duty every single year. I'm surprised that they've gone this many years doing that. You know, some other franchises and developers have tried doing annualizing their games, and they have not lasted for more than 3 years. But you know, it's definitely got its merits, and you know, I can understand why people enjoy it. I can understand why people also don't enjoy it. And
I think they do a good job, like, with the multiplayer modes, there's something for everybody, right? If you really like Counter-Strike, there's a mode that plays like Counter-Strike. If you really just like respawn modes, there's a ton of respawn modes. If you like a different type of objective, there's a couple of those modes. And I think that's why you see the popularity. Like, you know, I myself kind of gravitate to more of the objective modes when I'm playing PvP. And then, like, the new Plunder mode in Warzone's really fun. But certain games, their multiplayer modes are very limited, and they just don't catch fire, I think, for that reason.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's love it, hate it, whatever you want to do with it, but Call of Duty, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, look at Activision and Blizzard as one company. How many franchises do they continually put out?
Hey, you guys remember Guitar Hero? Remember when Guitar Hero was a thing? Or, I mean, I don't know, Tony Hawk? That's the thing. Or
Rock Band? Yeah.
I mean, they don't need to, because Call of Duty prints the money. You know, they don't need to worry about that. You know,
all I'm saying is, I'm sorry, Fenn, go ahead.
No, finish your thought, man.
I apologize about that. No, I was gonna say was, Fenn, you know, you definitely, I think you highlighted something that's really important that we want to, that we should, you know, point out, is this is a series that has not dried up. If you look at Activision as a whole, I mean, they have a long history of bleeding stones dry. I mean, like we're saying, Tony Hawk's, I mean, I know they're bringing that back, but regardless, I mean, Rock Band was an offshoot. I mean, they literally, I don't know if you guys know the story about Harmonix. They, when they bought Guitar Hero, they brought the entire staff of Harmonix into a parking lot, fired all of them, and then gave Guitar Hero to Raven to work on. So that's why Rock Band was created after they got fired. But I'm just saying, like, Activision, they have a long history of bleeding these series dry. They were going to do it to Destiny, let's be honest. They were going to do the same thing to Destiny. But Call of Duty is one thing that, despite Activision's terrible tendrils that they put into their business practices, it continuously like makes money every single year. I mean, for 12 some odd years, it's more than a decade. I mean, this, the game still sells, and that says something there.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see what happens here with this this Call of Duty. I mean, we haven't gone this far into a year without knowing exactly the name, at the very least, of the Call of Duty game. So
officially,
officially, but it'll be interesting to see what happens and going forward. But what I can say is, if you want to play Call of Duty, you can hit me up as Fender765 on Xbox. You can find me somewhere. I don't know what my Activision ID is, so, but hit me up on the Discord and we can play Call of Duty if you want to do some crossplay. Hop and McSwitch, let people know where they can find you.
You can hit me up at the Adult Gamer Discord as Hoptimus, and my Xbox Live tag is there. What about you, McSwitch?
Pretty much across the board on McSwitch, IG, of course, you know, Discord as well on the Adult Gamer. I'm probably one of the quieter ones on the tag Discord, but I'm definitely there. So anytime anyone wants anyone to play Call of Duty with, obviously I'm there. Yeah, of course, on Xbox, I have. I recently got a Switch. We never talked about that. McSwitch finally got a Switch. yeah, pretty much just McSwitch across the board. If you put that in, you'll probably find me.
All right. Well, McSwitch, thank you for joining us on the TagCast, the Adult Gamer Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you around. Hop, any final words?
Come play some Plunder with me.
All right. Well, everybody be safe and be kind and take care of each other out there. And we will see you on the next episode.
All right. Peace out, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.